Welcome back to another episode of the Chainsaw Enema Show. As always, I'm Johnny B. Ghoul. Misfit Mike, he's off today. He's homesick. So he couldn't be here with us, so I had a guest on. Brittany, again, you've been on a couple of our recent, not recent, but our past episodes. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Thank you for being here and doing the show. I know I had to beg you.
Hey, it's the least I can do on Valentine's Day.
That's right. So this is sort of a Valentine's Day special episode, I guess you could call it. And what better movie to do than Phantom of the Opera? It's sort of a romantic type of horror movie. Though we do have some interesting things to say about this one that we're going to be doing. Tonight we're discussing The Phantom of the Opera from 1943. And this is our seventh installment of our Universal Monsters episodes, and we have one more to go after this one. It's really exciting. But anyway, for our top cast, we have Claude Rains as, is it Eric?
Eric Claudin.
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 They say Claudin, yeah.
He's the Phantom. And Suzanne Foster as Christine, and there's a lot of other people that I did not give a shit about. Didn't find it interesting. They weren't interesting enough to me, at least, to name them all. Susanna Foster was a very interesting actress, very interesting person.
Yeah, very versatile, I would say, in this movie, I think.
Yeah. She tired of show business and wanted a normal life later on. And in 1956, when she divorced her husband at the time, Wilbur Evans is his name, she quit performing altogether and got jobs to support her and her children, which is cool, don't get me wrong. With the children raised at that time and her other husband, or ex-husband, I should say, passed away, she set back out to California, and she was actually living in her car for a while, sometime in 1982, until she was established. Unfortunately, sadly, any dream of making a comeback, that didn't help. She had a lot of several health problems. She struggled with mental illness and alcoholism later in life, and she died of heart failure at 84 years old.
Oh my God.
Super sad, because when you watch her in this movie, she is one of the shining stars in this movie.
Well, I feel like she's in her prime at this point. I mean, maybe she is, but that's kind of sad. I didn't know that about her.
She was 19 years old when she did this movie.
That's amazing, too, because if you think about 19-year-olds today, they don't look like that.
It's unbelievable. She looks very mature for her age in this. I think she was 19. I read that she was 19, and then I heard, I think, on the DVD commentary or somewhere that she was 17, or maybe they were talking about when she first got established as an actress, she was 17. I don't know, but either way, she was pretty friggin' young.
Yeah, especially for a role like that.
Yeah. So, okay, let's start things off. Brittany, let's start out with me asking you what you thought of this movie. Just give a brief answer and give your honest opinion.
Well, I'm not a huge opera fan. So, if you're not a huge opera fan, there's probably too much of that in this movie. I mean, I know the movie is called Phantom of the Opera, but I'm not a huge opera fan. I can completely respect the talent and the work that goes into being an opera singer, but too much opera. Too much opera.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't super thrilled with this. I actually fell asleep.
The first time we watched.
the movie was just not grabbing my attention at all.
Yeah, you know? Fell asleep, I think, 25 minutes into this movie.
I mean, yeah, and a lot of the time I couldn't understand what the hell they were even saying. That was the other thing. It's all French opera. So, again,
well, most of it is. The first scene that you see with their performance, that's all in English.
It is?
I believe so.
Okay. Well,
or maybe, I don't know. I don't give a shit.
Either way, too much opera, but I think the storyline, you know, I think the storyline itself is great. I just think they, especially given what they did with the previous Universal Monsters movies, I think they could have done a lot better.
Agreed.
Just in general, they could have made this really creepy, and it really wasn't creepy. It didn't feel like horror to me. It felt more like mystery.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It felt more like a dramatic mystery with a little bit of soap thrown in there.
Yeah, like we're watching the movie Clue.
Yeah.
Yeah, just except not as funny.
Right. This had some comedy in there too, which felt very unnecessary. When a movie like this is featured in a Universal Monsters box set, it really throws you off. I mean, we went from doing Dracula to Frankenstein to The Mummy, Invisible Man. I mean, put these all together and they have something that goes together.
Yeah, very cohesive.
Really well as far as the filming goes, the cinematography, the way everything was done. And also, don't forget Jack Pierce, although he did work on this movie too, his real skills really show in the other movies. And also you've got James Whale, who did a few of the older movies that we recently did on previous episodes. And this movie was just not up to par with those movies at all. It was completely different, and I don't understand why it's even a part of the box set. I really don't. They should have had the 1925 Phantom of the Opera as part of the box set, although I've never seen that movie. I've seen the trailer, or trailers or whatever. I've seen certain scenes. I've seen what Lon Chaney looks like as the Phantom, and to me, that is more horrific than this.
Yeah, because at first I thought, okay, well, maybe it's because Claude Rains is in it, but then when you know that Lon Chaney is in the original, you're just kind of left wondering. I mean, if they were going to put Phantom of the Opera with all of these, maybe they should have just had both versions instead of just one of them. I don't know.
I mean, Claude Rains did a fantastic job. He was really fun to watch in this. I love him as an actor. I think he's very talented. He's just fun to watch to me. He can do anything, and I do enjoy watching him.
I was really excited to finally see what he looked like, because I saw him in The Invisible Man, right, but I didn't see him. That's what I was excited about when I first saw this, for sure.
Well, he's played smaller cameos in other movies, like the last movie we did, or the last episode, we did Wolfman, and he was Lon Chaney Jr.'s dad in that one.
Oh, jeez, it's been a long time since I saw that.
But yeah. No, he's very good to watch. I thought he did a really great job. I thought the Phantom looked stupid as hell in this, though. And they were thinking about getting Lon Chaney Jr. to play in this movie as well. I think they should have. I don't know. I really don't know why they didn't. I didn't look up much information on why, but I do know Lon Chaney Jr. was a little upset about that because his dad was the original.
Right.
And I think he would have been able to pull it off, and it would have been really fun to see him in this role. I think it kind of was meant for him, but he didn't get it for whatever reason.
I think that a big thing here for me would have been if they went further into the psyche of the Phantom, because you obviously know he's disturbed, right? But again, they could have done more with that. They really should have gone further into whatever distorted, twisted thoughts he was having, urges he was having. You know, I can picture how this could have been. And I just can't help that when watching this movie, because, again, the premise is great, but the execution of it, I think, just needed more in general.
It needed more horror.
Absolutely.
This being labeled a horror movie does not make any sense to me. I was waiting for it, and that's what disappointed me the most about it. You go from The Wolfman and all the previous Universal Monsters movies to this. If you're a fan of opera and singing, and it was very bland to me and boring. Yeah.
It almost felt like the main story was like a side story to the opera and the drama happening between Christina. Was it Christina? That was her name in the movie.
Christina
and the two men. Like, it almost felt like the Phantom storyline was like a side story, like a side plot. That's almost how it felt to me.
It's like, okay, everybody, like, they're focusing more on everything else that's going on except for the Phantom. He's just kind of like this shadow in the distance that gets noticed once in a while, which I can kind of understand that too, but come on. It's called Phantom of the Opera. Let's have him in this movie more. And I know this is 1943, but come on. It's cool though. Claude Rains, I really do enjoy watching. I thought he did a really fantastic job, and he only accepted to play this part under the condition that there was no overdone disfiguration of his face. I guess he didn't want to go through the crazy makeup. He probably heard horror stories about Boris Karloff and Lon Chaney Jr.
Yeah.
Frankenstein and Wolfman. He didn't want to go through that. The worst he went through was Invisible Man, and that's just bandages and everything, which I'm sure is uncomfortable, but not as much as what Boris Karloff and Lon Chaney Jr. and them went through.
Right.
But Jack Pierce, he succeeded in fulfilling the requirement, and it looked okay. I guess for a movie like this, it looked okay.
I think for that time, it was decent.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Pierce did a great job. It looks fantastic, but I just felt that it needed more. And I heard that they changed changed the story from the original 1925 version, too. Because in the 1925 version, you don't know why his face is like that. You assume that he was just born like that, I guess. Hmm. Which adds more mystery. It's creepier that way. And in this one, you know, he gets acid thrown in his face. I mean,
I wonder if in the original, do you see him prior to wearing the mask? That's what I want to know. Because see Claude Rains as part of the orchestra, you know, so you see him before then. So I have to wonder how they changed that.
I don't know. I mean, we really have to go. We really should have watched the movie before watching this one.
Yeah, maybe we should
But
have.
This is just part of the installments.
Yeah.
But we're also looking at this from not seeing the original, so we don't really have much to compare it to, and we still didn't like this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like if we saw the original all the way through, we'd probably hate this even more.
Yeah. Especially with like a 20-year... You said it was like 1920-something?
1925 was... when the original one came out.
It's
a silent film too, I should mention.
Yeah.
If no one's ever seen it. You don't hear about Phantom of the Opera that much. You started hearing about it, I think, back in 2004. They came out with one that was so unbelievably fucking terrible. I saw that in theaters with a couple of my friends. And part of the way into the movie, my friends were laughing so hard because they'd never seen anything like that before. Like a musical opera type of you know. And it was just so... It's so weird. I don't like it. You really have to be a fan of this stuff to understand it, I think. I mean, I don't. And it was just so bad. I couldn't take it. It was like a soap opera. It really was. It was really, really watered down. I mean, there's been so many musicals of this movie. There's plays. There's all sorts of... All sorts of stuff about this. And it amazes me because it's all just about the opera and singing. It never really much about the Phantom.
Yeah, for sure. I wish I had seen the Broadway performance too, to mm-hmm. have something else to compare it to, because I know that's been big for a really long time as well. Probably bigger than these movies, I would say.
I wouldn't mind watching Phantom of the Opera on Broadway or something. I mean, I would imagine it would be pretty cool. And you know what to expect too.
Right.
I mean, nowadays, if you're going to watch Phantom of the Opera, you kind of have an idea of what it is. Going back to this movie, 1943, and having it being part of the Universal Monsters collection, I expected something different. I didn't expect it to be so watered down like it is, and just very tame.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of these movies are considered, you could consider tame, but man, was this surprising. Really, really was. But speaking of Jack Pierce earlier, I wanted to mention, because me and Misfit Mike mentioned on previous shows about how you hear different things about how Lon Chaney Jr. didn't get along with them, and certain people didn't get along with them. Boris Karloff and him were best friends. You hear like all these stories. Another little piece of trivia that I found was Susanna Foster remembered him despite his fearsome reputation. She remembered him as being a sweet, caring man who actually took time to teach her to apply, you know, how to apply her makeup to, you know, which best would suit her features. And despite the fact that he wasn't assigned to work with her, I guess, anytime that he saw her, he was just really sweet to her, I guess, and, you know, would make suggestions. And I guess she just said that he was just an overall really nice guy who cared about his work when it came down to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to throw that out because in every one of these episodes, we're trying to mention Jack Pierce as much as possible because he just doesn't get enough recognition.
Well, it's good to have kind of a nice example of somebody having an appreciation for him.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the reputation.
This movie actually won... Well, it's actually the only one out of the Universal Classic Monster Collection that won Academy... It was an Academy Award-winning film in the series. And winning Oscars for Best Cinematography, I could completely understand. That's one great thing about this film.
Yeah.
And Best Art Direction, nominations for Best Score and Best Sound. That doesn't really surprise me with this.
What was it up against, though, I wonder, at that time?
I didn't look that up. I didn't care that much. I'm so sorry. I mean, anyone that's listening, if you're a fan of this movie, I do apologize, but it just was not for me. It really was not for me, and I was just so let down. For the time when it came out, it got a lot of praise, I guess. There was a lot of hype over it, but there were some people that felt differently. Something that I agree with is that there's too much opera and not enough Phantom. It was a British critic named Tony Raines. I guess he summed it up in a magazine article and mentioned that.
And wow.
Yeah, it's a judgment which many would agree, and I agree too.
That's really interesting, because that's exactly like what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I said that earlier, and I didn't even know that that was something. But I mean, I guess it's not too surprising, because obviously...
There's way too much of it in here.
Yep.
That's why it's so shocking to me that it made it into the Universal Monsters box set.
Right.
It's, I don't know, it's just really sad. They changed a lot of things about it, too.
Well, it makes me feel less bad about not liking it. If people felt the same, you know, if a lot of people felt the same about that, it makes me feel a little better. It's not like saying Frankenstein sucked or the mummy sucked, Dracula sucked, you know, that, you know, you'd be really in trouble at that point.
Yeah.
But for this one, you know, for sure. I'd like to hear more about why it was acclaimed, though, you know, like, so in such a way, like, why was it considered by obviously so many to be so good?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know more about.
There are some good things about this. I mean, the Technicolor is great. You know, I was really excited about this. If you listen to previous episodes, you'll hear me say how excited I was to watch this, because I've never seen it before until recently. It's just one of those movies I just never got around to. All my friends that were into horror never talk about this movie.
Yeah.
The only thing I've ever heard anyone say is The Man of a Thousand Faces, Lon Chaney, just all the stuff that he did and what a legend that he is.
Yeah.
He did the original, and I have been told to watch that one, but at the time I was not really into silent films. I still kind of not really, but I'm kind of intrigued to watch it now, especially after this tragedy. And I have seen Nosferatu a good amount of times, and that's just the creepiest fucking film ever.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is just so... I mean, even without sound, it's just... Oh.
I feel like it would be more creepy without sound.
It is.
You know, it really is. Leaving a lot more to imagination.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there's some cool things about this movie. Like, I think it's called Stage 25, the theater that they used where they perform and with the chandelier.
Yeah.
That's the same one that they used for 1925 in the original. They built that for that version and they used it in this one. So that was one really cool thing that I did like about it. And to see it in color too was quite amazing.
Yeah.
That got torn down in 2015. I guess, because they wanted to make room for more attractions at the Universal Studios, I guess.
Okay.
Which is sad, because why would you tear something like that down? I mean, it's the original Phantom of the Opera. It's a piece of history. It's shocking.
I'm sure there's aspects that they've kept to it. You know, eventually, places like that do get torn down eventually. You know, that was almost 100 years ago.
It was,
Think about what they were probably capable of doing with that space at this point, and...
I don't care.
You know,
they shouldn't have torn it down. They should have moved it or something. I hate to say this, but should we talk about the movie plot?
Yeah.
We'll get into it a little bit.
I guess so.
Oh my God. Happy Valentine's Day. So this violinist, Eric Claudin, he gets dismissed from the Paris Opera House after revealing that he's lost the use of his fingers in his left hand. And I gotta point out that this was one of the scenes that I enjoyed watching. The first, like, 15 minutes of this movie was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And probably the last 15 minutes of it was fun to watch. It was like, they were like the best parts.
Yeah.
But anyway, the unknown to the conductor, he didn't know, but he just assumes Claudin's able to support himself and just used all his money to help anonymously fund the voice lessons for this Christine girl that he has like this little crush on her, right? That's pretty much what it's implying.
Probably bigger than a little crush.
She's a little obsessed. He comes across as this really sad, pathetic loser of a guy. I mean... This is Phantom of the Opera, too. And they made his character kind of wimpy, and you felt bad for him. And, I mean, I know you're supposed to feel bad for him in a way, but the way that they make you feel about him in this, it's just, I don't know, it just didn't seem right. There was nothing creepy about it at all, and I hated it.
Again, they could have really done a lot more with that whole plot line. You know, I feel like they skipped over and just, you know, didn't give as much attention to what they really could have to make this a horror film.
Back in these times, it's kind of, what's the word? It was like a trope with these movies.
Yeah.
They ended very abrupt.
Abruptly, yes.
That's the word.
Yep.
They ended pretty quick. And a lot of the times you didn't see it coming, and there were no side stories or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, in this one, there definitely was, but I feel as time went on with these Universal movies, the story developed a little bit more each time, and it gave you more each time. Mm-hmm. But with this one, it just seemed like it was all over the place and mm-hmm. rushed in different parts of the film.
Yeah.
Okay, so Christine is a young soprano with whom he's fallen in love with, and in a desperate attempt to earn money, he submits a piano concerto? Is that how you say it? Concerto. I'm going to get this wrong, and I'm going to get names wrong, too, so I apologize. This movie was a very hard watch for both of us. So, yeah, so he submits this concerto.
Concerto.
God damn it. Concerto. He's written for to get it published, basically. And after submitting it and not hearing a response, he becomes quite worried about it, and he returns to the publishers. And he asks about it, and I guess no one there knows what happens to it, and they don't seem to care, and they just tell him to come back. So Claudin, he persists, and one of the girls there rudely tells him to leave and goes back to the etchings or whatever he was working on. So finally giving up, Claudin stands there for a minute and he hangs his head sadly because he hears someone playing the music in the next room, and that just happens to be his concerto.
Very I got good. It right,
yes. And he was in shock when he heard this. And the concerto that's being played, it's being endorsed and praised by
Franz Liszt.
I didn't even know that. There's so many characters in this movie I didn't care about. So anyway, Claudin's convinced that the guy's trying to steal his concerto. So he flips out here. This is where the movie kind of picks up and gets a little interesting. He leaps up and begins to strangle the guy who told him to fuck off, basically. And just as he tosses the body of the guy he's strangling to the floor, Georgette, I guess that's the publisher's assistant, she throws etching acid at Claudin, right in his face. And he screams, he wails, he's clutching his face, and he runs out the door. And now he's being hunted down by the police for murder. So this was all one big, like, misunderstanding, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. He thought that they were stealing it. And I don't know, I guess there was just a lot going on at the time, and they just told him to come back, and Claudin was just impatient and couldn't wait, and one thing led to another, and now he's on the run from the police.
So really, they were just kind of playing it to hear it and, like, listen to it and review mm-hmm. it rather than
steal
that
it.
One guy taking credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really okay. Cause,
yeah, because okay. when they were playing it, they were praising it and saying how great it was, and how one of the guys said that, oh, so-and-so doesn't want this Claudin guy to ever get published for some reason, but this is a real piece of work. This is definitely going to get published. So if he didn't freak out.
Yeah, if that hadn't happened, this whole movie wouldn't have happened.
That would have been the end of the movie. So anyway, Claudin, he flees to the sewers of the opera. Claudin steals a prop mask from the costume department to cover his now disfigured face. And I don't even think it shows that scene.
I don't think they show it.
Because I don't remember him ever... They mentioned that he stole it, but I don't remember him ever seeing him steal it. But when he's in the sewers, too, he's holding his face. He really makes it convincing that it's extremely painful, I will say.
Well, it's like painful, I said, he has to jump into the sewer water.
Oh, it was pretty disgusting. He jumps through, he just kind of falls into the muck and just, I would imagine that would not feel good.
Yeah, probably wouldn't help. He would have been more disfigured just from the infection and all the fecal matter that clogging up his pores.
But really, Claude Rains really is fun to watch. I mean, apart from all of the fucking opera that takes 90% of this movie up, the other 10% is pretty enjoyable, like a dramatic mystery. Mm-hmm. Again, there's really no horror. Meanwhile, Inspector Raoul wants Christine to quit the opera and marry him, but famed opera baritone
Anatole,
he hopes to win Christine's heart. Christine considers them both good friends, but doesn't openly express if she loves them. She kind of plays games with them, and that's one thing that pissed me off about her character. Kind of, leads them both on. And these two guys are, the fucking jokers of the movie. They kind of, I don't know, they are funny, at times, but it's kind of annoying because if you're sitting here hoping for something horrific to happen and you're waiting for the Phantom, I mean, again, it's a Universal Monsters movie. It's supposed to be a horror movie. Right. And when watching this movie, I kept on saying, what the hell are we watching?
Again,
what
like
is this?
Right. That's like the main plot compared to the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. So, oh gosh. So yeah, during a performance at the opera, Claudin drugs a glass of wine, which one of the leads in the opera,
she gets
drugged and it makes her collapse and she's unable to perform. So the director puts Christine in her place and she pretty much dazzles both the audience and everyone with her singing. And I have to say, as annoying as this part is, she has a amazing voice. Very, very talented. She hits a note that's so freaking high it could shatter glass. And while we were watching this, I kept on questioning, is this her real voice? It is. I looked it up in the trivia, and there's also some special features on here that says that she pretty much got the role because of her amazing voice.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I think it's important to note that you know early on in the movie that Christine and the lead are kind of in competition. It's her understudy.
Christine is the understudy.
So... Mm-hmm. You know, the woman who's drugged knows that she's got competition. And obviously Claudine knows Christine is this woman's competition. I think that's important to note there. Because obviously Claudine knows what her potential is. And he knows that what she's capable of. And he's in love with her. So,
yeah.
You know, he's got that MO.
And she suspects that Garen and Christine are the ones responsible for drugging her. She kind of freaks out when they talk to her about it. And she actually orders Raoul to arrest them, but he says that he can't because there's no evidence to prove her statement is true. So anyway, she sets a condition that she'll forget the whole affair only if Christine's performance isn't mentioned in the papers. And her conditions are reluctantly accepted, much to Christine and Anatole's dismay. The next night, Claudin enters
I would say Bianca Rolli's.
Yeah, that's the girl who was drugged. He enters her dressing room. She's getting ready. And this is where you actually first see him as the Phantom and not like a shadow. He jumps in and he looks ridiculous. I don't like the way that they made him look in this. The mask is very cheap looking, very, it's not scary or creepy at all. It's just, they could have done such a better job with it. It's just this gray, bland mask that goes over the top half of his face. And anyway, he enters the dressing room and he makes quite an appearance. There's a maid there and she freaks out and runs back. And then, he ends up, she tells him to take off the mask. Take that mask off. And she walks up to him like she's going to take it off, but he ends up killing her. I think he strangled her.
Yeah.
The maid.
That's what they lead you to believe, at least, because then all you hear is screaming.
Yep. After that, the opera's closed. It's closed, and then, the next scene, they're saying, "I must stay open." And that's it. Then it's open back up. It happens so quickly.
Yeah.
It's quite ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a lot happening in that whole section there. But because Claudine is making these demands, right? He's writing all these notes to, the director. And
after some time, the owners actually receive a note demanding that Christine replace that woman. So, they keep it open. Because to catch Claudine, Raoul comes up with this plan. Not let Christine sing during a performance of... It's a Russian opera, I guess.
That was a Paris.
I thought, but in the
trivia... Oh, you know what? Maybe the final one is Russian. Maybe the final one is Russian. Either way.
It's all Greek to me.
Greek, Russian, French.
I don't know. If there's anyone listening, that we're just messing around. This movie was just all over the place, seriously. We can't tell what the hell's going on. I mean... Like we said, you've got to be a fan of opera and musicals and stuff to really enjoy this movie. And we were not enjoying it. I mean, very talented stuff. It looks like it was done really well. Everyone seemed like they did a fantastic job for this sort of thing, but it's not my milieu. So yeah, he comes up with this plan to not let Christine sing during the performance of this Russian opera. and it's called The Masked Prince of the
Caucasus,
as to lure Claudin out into the open, which is stupid because everyone's wearing a fucking mask. So that first time watching this, I'm like, oh, that's gonna get
him.
Yeah, but
he doesn't know that. He doesn't know he's wearing a mask. You know what I mean?
No, but everyone else is. So why? It just, yeah, I don't know. It I just know. Didn't make sense to me.
I know.
You can't really look at it under a microscope. These movies, you can't. You got to overlook some stuff to get through them. And I understand that for this time.
Well, and I noticed, like, in these scenes, I feel like, and this might just be, again, relating to the time, I feel like you have to really be paying attention to every single word. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you will lose the plot. You'll just lose the plot because it's so, I don't know.
Well, that's what happened with you.
Yes, you were looking at me like, you kept staring at me because I'm like squinting and watching and I'm just like, I have to pay so much attention to it, you know, and it's not like...
You can't just jump into it. You got to watch it for like
And so much happens in the span of like 60 seconds, not even, you know, you have to pay attention because mm-hmm. like they go back and forth, they go back and forth so rapidly. So you have to really be, you can't be distracted if you want to know what the hell is happening. You have to be literally, like, on the edge of your seat paying attention. And, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with that per se, but I just feel like...
For a movie like this, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, so let's jump back in here. While Garen plans to have Liszt play the concerto after the performance, Claudin strangles one of the policemen and heads to the ceiling here of the auditorium. And this is a very famous scene. It's something that happens, I think, in most Phantom of the Operas. It's very well known. The chandelier, he brings this down on the audience, causing chaos.
I feel like this is like kind of humorous because he takes like this little hacksaw to this giant chain of like a freaking 1,000-pound chandelier, and he's just like up there.
It takes forever. I feel like it was 10 minutes straight. He's sawing this thing. And I think they did that on purpose because they wanted to let the...
They wanted to build.
Well, they wanted to let the opera and the people singing and dancing and everything. They wanted that song or whatever it was they were doing to play out.
Well, yeah, and that song, like we were saying while we were watching it, like... It does build that tension
mm-hmm.
of what you know is about to happen. So, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely does.
That part of the movie I thought was pretty entertaining.
And some of the faces that he makes, too, with the mask on is so fucking hilarious. He looks like a seagull. He'll, like, look back over his shoulder once in a while with his eyes wide open.
It's very dramatic, yeah.
So as the audience and the crew flee, Claudin takes Christine down underground. And, well, I have to mention here first... The police are, they have masks on and they're kind of like keeping an eye out.
Yeah, they're doing like undercover.
Yeah, and
covert ops.
Claudin strangles one of the officers and he's already got the mask on, so, but he just puts on like his robe or something with a hood.
Right, and he's walking around.
And he's walking around and he goes to look around and see if, I don't actually know why he's. Why did he do that? Because then he goes all the way up and cuts the chandelier. But he does this before he cuts down the chandelier. Why didn't he cut the chandelier down and then go to Christine? I don't know. Well, anyway, he tells Christine to come with him. She thinks it's one of the officers, but it's not. It's actually Claudin. And once they get to this, like, metal door that looks like the gateway to hell, then she's like, you're not one of them. And he just tells her... You know, don't be frightened.
Right, I've been looking out for you this whole time. Yeah. I won't hurt you now or whatever. Yeah.
And she screams as he grabs her and takes her down into the sewers or tunnels. He tells Christine that he loves her and that he loves her and that she's now going to sing all she wants, but only for him. Christine doesn't recognize Claudin at first. She seems pretty afraid of him, which is understandable. So Raoul, the police inspector, and Anatole and the police begin pursuing them underground. Just as Claudin and Christine arrive in the lair, they hear someone and the orchestra playing Claudin's concerto. Hey, right. I said it.
Once they realize Christine is missing and he'd been demanding the concerto to be played, they say, play the concerto,
mm-hmm.
to try to, again, draw him out.
Right, which it does, because he hears it and he's like, That's my concerto. And he sits down and starts playing along with it.
Right.
And I have to say, I'm not a fan of this music or opera music or anything, but I thought that the song that he was playing there on the piano, it was quite catchy. Yeah. It was really fun to watch him do this and to see him play while looking at Christine and some of the faces he was making. I thought was really, at this scene, was really dramatic and fun to watch.
Yeah.
Again, more drama and mystery to it than horror, but this part was enjoyable. Claudin plays along with it on his piano, like I was saying, and Christine watches, and realizing the concerto was written around the melody of a lullaby she'd known since she was a child. The way that she's looking at Claudin when she starts singing, she looks really petrified and frozen and
I feel like
just
at first she
fearful.
Looks petrified, and then her face changes. And yeah. She approaches him, right? And
Yeah, she does, because she's going to go for the mask.
But I didn't see, when I was watching it, again, thinking it was a love story, I was thinking she was, like, realizing, oh my gosh, this man's, like, so in love with me. And, like, I thought it was going to be, like, something, like, they were going to end up together. Like, that she was going to be under some kind of, not real spell, but, you know, like, drawn to him because of this love he has for her, right? This, like, obsessive love. But instead, she walks up to him singing to take his mask off. I thought that was interesting because I don't know if anyone else who's seen this also got kind of a mixed feeling about is she like actually like going for him, or is she going to
a bit of calmness kind of washes over her for a little while there as she goes towards him. So you really don't know, unless you know the story, because I know in the original, one of the most famous scenes is the Phantom getting his mask ripped off, and then you see that horrific face, which is phenomenal. So I knew what was going to happen here because I've seen that scene. But if you haven't, you kind of don't really know. It's kind of a really powerful scene, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just because you don't really know exactly what's going to happen. I mean,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Raoul and Anatole hear Claudin playing and follow the sound. Overjoyed, Claudin urges Christine to sing, which she does. And while he is distracted by playing his music, Christine sneaks up slowly and pulls off his mask very quickly. And you see his burnt, disfigured face on the right side of his face that was caused by where he got hit with acid. And it looks very fresh. Jack Pierce did a fantastic job. Don't get me wrong. I just, maybe it looks better in black and white.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty good.
It looked good. It just looked too fleshy. To me, it should have looked more darker and burnt-like.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But how long has it been, too? It doesn't really tell you. I mean, a couple days, maybe.
Yeah.
There's really not much of a timeline here. It all seems within a few days.
Right.
Anyway, so you see his burnt, disfigured face, and at the same moment, Raoul and Anatole, they break in, and Claudin grabs a sword to fight with them slowly. Raoul takes out his gun and says, "Don't move." And right when he's going to fire the gun at him, Anatole, for some reason, knocks his arm. Mm. It makes no sense to me why he did that. His arm goes up and he shoots two shots into the ceiling, causing a humongous fucking cave-in. And Anatole, Raoul escape with Christine, but Claudin gets crushed to death by all of these falling rocks and debris and everything. Once they're safe, Anatole tells Christine that she and Claudin had come from the same town district, which explains why they both knew the lullaby. And she responds by saying, while Claudin had seemed like a stranger to her, she'd somehow always felt drawn to him. An earlier version of the script had Claudin be Christine's biological father.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He abandoned her and her mother, and this explains his devotion and the knowledge of the lullaby. So it makes more sense that way. When I read that in the trivia, that made a lot more sense. So Anatole finishes by saying that Claudin's concerto will live on.
Yeah.
And then it shows the debris surrounding a violin and Claudin's mask.
Yeah, and she talks about how she has this, like, pity for him. She kind of feels bad for him at that point.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of recognizes, like, you know, what had become of him.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. It's understandable.
Yeah.
They should have ended the movie right there.
Right, that would have been fine. That would have been fine.
But for some reason... and it still wouldn't have been a fantastic movie if they did.
This next part that you're about to talk about just goes
makes no fucking sense.
It goes on to just say, to show that the Phantom storyline doesn't seem like the main plot line.
Who cares about these other jackasses?
So what happens?
Anatole and Raoul demand that Christine finally chooses between the two men. She surprises them by choosing to marry neither one of them and pursue her singing career.
Yeah, she kind of blows him off. She's like,
"Yeah,
please excuse me for a minute." And then she just goes into a sea of the fans being showered with flowers. And
that's the real her.
Admiration, yeah.
So she pretty much was like using these guys throughout the movie to get pity and to just, I don't know. She likes the attention. It's clear that she likes the attention.
Well, I think men are drawn to her in the movie, right? Obviously, Claudine is, and then, you know, this police officer and the other singer. And, you know, she's just one of those women, right? In these movies where...
That's what I gathered from it. In the plot, it mentions that she now understands how much Claudine loved her and how much... he was devoted to her singing career.
Right.
And that's why she chose to pursue singing career. Huh. Which I think was something that he wanted to do from the beginning.
Right.
But then I guess he went a little mad, became the Phantom, and wanted to keep her all to himself.
Right.
There could have been so much more added to this story. I mean, sometimes it's great that movies will do that. They'll make you keep guessing and everything. But this movie just pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it should have just told it. It shouldn't have made you guess this much. It should have just told the story and had you know what the hell was going on. So she leaves the room and joins her adoring fans outside, like you said. And the film ends with Anatole and Raoul going off to commiserate together and go out to dinner together. And that's it. It was the fucking stupidest thing I've ever seen. They're trying to, like, leave, and they keep running into each other and can't get through the door. And that happens, like, 3 times throughout the movie. It's almost like almost slapstick comedy.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. It's like a
shtick that they do or something throughout the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they get more noticed than the Phantom. And these guys are just like, no, like, it starts out showing them as like nobodies. Like, these should just be, their roles should be supporting the Phantom, but it's not. So, and that's how it ends. And it's completely stupid. And we're led to believe that the Phantom is dead, I guess.
Yeah, but I almost wondered if he wasn't dead. Because when you see, there's a shot there where they're showing his mask and his violin.
Mm-hmm. Where they should have ended the movie.
But you're hearing some, like, rumbling of the rocks and the rubble. And I don't know. I feel like maybe it could still be crumbling down or movement of him underneath the rubble.
Or maybe we're just looking too deep into it.
Maybe not.
I don't know. For this time, who knows?
They needed a sequel.
Well, there's a ton of other movies like this. To be honest, I've only seen a couple, and this one was no better. I don't know. Let's get into our ratings. That's the end of the movie. What would you rate this movie? Give a final rating.
1 out of 10?
1 out of 10. 1 being sucky, 10 being fantastic.
I think I would give it a 3.
Wow.
Probably give it a 3. 3, maybe 4.
So you really hated it.
I saw so much more potential. I try to kind of also recognize, you know, this was the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was a different time. There were parts of it I did enjoy that I found, you know, exciting or kind of thrilling, or even some of the mysterious parts of it were, you know, entertaining to watch too. But again, like I said, like we've been saying throughout the whole movie, there just wasn't enough Phantom in here. I think, yes, Claude Rains did a great job,
mm-hmm.
but I think they didn't really take full advantage of his talent and what he was capable of.
Yeah. It's hard for me to rate a movie that I don't like because I either feel like I'm being too, like, you know, too much of an asshole, or I should be a little bit more generous, or I don't know. It's always a tough decision. With movies I love, it's easy. And this is a movie that I did not love. I didn't even like it. There were certain scenes about it that I thought were okay. I mean, this version is easily, though, the weakest film in the set. easily. It shouldn't even exist in the set. It feels just a little too mangled and messy to try to be a classic horror film.
Right.
Or even just a horror film in general. The production history suggests that there's a lot of reasons why the finished product ends up so mangled. We know that Claude Rains was afraid of being typecast as a freak, and so the character scars are significantly downplayed. That's just my opinion. I think that they should have hammed it up a little bit more. Even though it looked really well done, there should have just been more there. It would have added more to the... Well, it would have added horror to it.
You only see it one time for like 3 seconds.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I understand why they did that though.
Yeah, I get that.
But I wonder if that's also the reason that he's never really portrayed as much of a monster, even in the depths of his insanity. His brutality is retained. He's still a repeated murderer, and the story keeps the most iconic of the set pieces, which I think is very cool. But the Phantom feels more like an ineffectual loser than a true movie monster. The movie plays down the brutality of the story, and this focuses more on the technicolor glory of the opera and the costumes than it does any of the characters or the monster. The production design's beautiful and it looks stunning in color. I have to say that the technicolor for this time was just outstanding. It was done very well, particularly the hypersaturated technicolor. Claude Rains is fantastic as Eric, but he never seems like an especially compelling character. So overall, though, I really wasn't impressed with this movie. If anything, I was quite disappointed. And for that, I'm going to give it a 4. I don't know if I'm being too generous or maybe it deserves a little higher. But I might be. I just was really disappointed. Then this is the first... I mean, you know I was disappointed because all of the Universal Monsters we did before this were all 10s for very good reasons.
I think there was just a lot more potential for this movie, even in the 40s. I think there was more potential than it reached in this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at all the other movies that we've done recently. Yeah. Just those alone. I mean, these are iconic films. Yeah, I don't really have much more to say about this movie. And I feel that if Misfit Mike were here, he would definitely disagree with a lot of things because he has mentioned, I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but he has mentioned that he does love this movie. I think he said he doesn't know why he likes weird movies, and he likes this movie.
Well, that's because he's weird.
He's a weird guy. We love you, Misfit Mike.
He's a misfit.
Shout out to you, buddy. So, okay, well, I've got just some brief final thoughts, and then we're going to get the fuck out of here. I do not recommend this movie to anyone unless you're big into opera or mystery or drama. For horror fans, it's a definite no. Don't even waste your time. This movie has more opera than Phantom. Labeling this a horror film doesn't make any sense to me, and this was more, like I said, a dramatic mystery with a little bit of soap thrown in. I did not like it.
Did you really not like it?
I really didn't like it.
Wow. I'm glad you're finally coming out and saying how you really feel about this movie.
I don't think I mentioned it earlier, did I? I did not like this movie.
No, you didn't? Oh, okay.
I don't ever plan on watching this again. I really don't.
I think it's good to have watched it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I mean, that's...
If you're a fan of all of these Universal Monsters and it's part of the series, you kind of just have to watch it.
If you've never seen it.
Just so you can watch it.
Right. If you've never seen it and you're curious, be my guest, but you've been warned.
You're probably going to be disappointed if you're a huge fan of all the other ones.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, movies are subjective and some people's tastes are really different than ours. So, okay, well, on that note, thank you all very much for listening. Brittany, thank you so much for coming on the show. It means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to Misfit Mike for filling in for him.
It's my pleasure.
It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
It's always a blast.
Good times.
So again, thank you all for listening. And this completes our 23rd episode of The Chainsaw Enema Show. And remember, you can listen to our previous episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you can pretty much find podcasts. If you have any suggestions or requests, you can email Misfit Mike or send us a Facebook message or whatever. Remember to rate us and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to lock your doors and windows, check the closet, and look under the bed. Until the next time, I'm Johnny B. Ghoul.
And I'm Brittany.
And always remember, keep the horror alive.
alive.